will be here. And I'm going to tell you, it will change your life. Now listen, you can start working on your excuse book if you want to. I could give you some if you'd like them. But if you want God to take your life to the next level, then you will want to be here. And his teaching is absolutely second to none. And if you were here last year and he was here, then you'll know. And it will be transformative for our church as we get ready to build a new sanctuary. And it will be necessary. Ezekiel 1 and 1. Now it came to pass in the 13th year, in the 4th month, in the 5th day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Kibar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of God. In the 5th day of the month, which was the 5th year of King Jehoiakim's captivity, which is Ezekiel's 5th year of captivity, the word of the Lord came expressly unto Ezekiel the priest, the son of Buzi, in the land of the Chaldeans by the river Kibar, and the hand of the Lord was there upon him. And I looked, and behold, a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself. And a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof as the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. I would like to preach to you, if the Lord will help me, it's on the title, God is not in front of you. God is not in front of you. Would you pray for us?
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the wonderful spirit that we feel in this place today. God, we ask that as we settle into this place, Lord, your spirit just continues, Lord, God, to move through every seat, through every pew, oh Lord. God, we ask that our minds, Lord, and our spirits are just made clean and pure, God, that so our iniquity and our flesh does not get in the way of what you want to do in this place today. God, we pray over Pastor as he delivers the word, God, that is delivered with the utmost perfection, Lord, that you require of it, Lord. In Jesus' name, we ask all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated. Now, with some alterations, I'd like to share with you what the Lord laid on my heart for them last Thursday. And I feel it in this place today. The uniqueness of this passage, if you have not realized it, is Ezekiel was 5 years in captivity. The greatest move of God in his life happened while he was in captivity. The greatest move of his life happened when things were at their worst. We often wait for God to deliver us from our circumstances before we think that we can have a move of God. To the contrary, it's those places, if you remember the three Hebrew brothers in the furnace, it's in those times of our life that God will show up if we let him. The second unique thing is the Bible said the word of the Lord came expressly to Ezekiel. God chose very deliberately to speak to him during that time. And that reminds us that no matter how bad things may get, we cannot ever stop hearing from heaven. Let me just pause and just say, when is the last time you heard from the Lord? Whether God spoke to you audibly or whether God spoke to you through the message. And I do want to tell you that if you cannot hear God through the message, you'll never hear him audibly. God chose to speak and deliver his word through his preachers. I had somebody recently said to me, when I always quote that scripture, that God chose the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. And they said, can you please preach that in context? And I said, what context would you like? And they never answered me. Hope they're listening today. You cannot pick something apart because you have an issue with it and then leave it right there. God speaks to us through ministry. That's the word. I'll bring the microphone to you if you can prove to me where I'm wrong. Now, I'm only making my point because it's important that we understand it's the will of God to speak to us. And sometimes we don't know his voice or don't understand when it's him speaking. And that's why God chose the foolishness of preaching. Yes, to God it is foolishness, but it's the vehicle, it's the vessel that God uses to deliver his message. You don't believe me? Read your Bible. God didn't come to a nation that was in captivity and say, hey, I'm going to send some plagues and I'm going to free you. No, he called a man, talked to the man, sent the man with all his weaknesses and used the man. And they never really fully trusted the man. Because it's within our own nature to not trust that which we're not in control of. So it's not a secret or a surprise that after 5 years in captivity, God would finally decide to show up and speak to Ezekiel. It's not a surprise that he did not come in this grand display that everybody could see. No, something very personal happened to Ezekiel. And the Bible says that when he looked, he beheld a whirlwind came out of the north, a great cloud and a fire enfolding itself, and a brightness was about it, and out of the midst thereof is the color of amber, out of the midst of the fire. And so when God begins to speak, he intends to bring reassurance to us. Reassurance isn't, hey, everything's going to be okay always. Sometimes reassurance is, I got this. You let me be God and you be you. And so, very early on in their captivity, God shows up, knowing there's be many, many years left during their tribulation. And so I found that throughout the scripture, God always had a move, or he moved before God spoke. This is very important for you to get this. Very important. In the beginning, God moved upon the face of the deep. And then God spoke. And the very first thing God spoke was, let the waters from below be divided from the waters above. And he called that the firmament. I'll talk about that in just a few moments. But God moved upon the face of the deep. In this text, God began to move. And then we're going to see where God begins to speak. When the Bible says that God spoke expressly to Ezekiel, he wasn't speaking there. That was to come later. But Ezekiel saw this heavenly display of God's glory. He called it a fire and a cloud that enveloped itself. And he talked about the brightness, or as bright like an emerald. It was a glorious scene. In verse 23, it says, and under the firmament were their wings straight. Now, if you go on and you read the whole text, you're going to find these four creatures or beasts or whatever you want to call them that Ezekiel saw. They were angelic beings. They weren't monsters or monstrosities. Now, the reason that matters is because you can't see heavenly things here on earth. There's got to be a divine display in God's firmament. So if you have ever seen an angel, I can assure you, you weren't in your flesh. Because flesh and blood cannot inherit the things of God. And so it says under the firmament, which is this divide, and what will... To put it into context, that would be where we get up so high and we can no longer breathe. That's the divide of the firmament, of the heavens. Outer space is called the heavens. Peter spoke of three heavens in the Bible. That is this sky. That's why the Bible says when they built the Tower of Babel, they built a tower that reached up into the heavens. That was a skyscraper. And then you have outer space, which is the second heaven, and the third is one we cannot see. That's what Peter spoke about. And so the firmament has this divide. It's where life can exist and where life cannot exist without divine intervention, if you please. Or spacesuits, but they'll only do you so good so long anyway. And in this firmament, these creatures and their wings were straight one toward the other. Everyone had two which covered on their side, and everyone had two which covered on that side of their bodies. They had four wings. And when they went, I heard the noise of their wings like the noise of great waters as the voice of the Almighty, the voice of speech. Now he begins to hear God speak. And as the voice of an host. And when they stood, they let down their wings. And so these beings, if you please, these angelic beings, they lowered their wings in obeisance when the voice of God went forward. I feel like I could start to preach here in just a moment. The greatest mistake that we're making in our churches today is we're getting caught up in the signs, wonders, and miracles and all the music and all the worship, and that's all great, but we never let God finish what he wants to start, which is, let me speak now. God wants to create an environment that is conducive for the voice of God now to speak. The reason some of us leave and we go home unchanged is because you never heard God say anything in your life, because you weren't willing to listen or you weren't ready to listen. And you can't be changed without God speaking. That's why his word or his voice is so important in our lives. And so when this voice went forward, these heavenly beings, they lowered their wings flat against their sides in obeisance. That means they weren't talking and they weren't texting. They didn't use that as the time that was an excuse to go to the bathroom. They weren't walking around and fellowshipping with other people. No, there is a time where we give reverence to the voice of God. And then the Bible says, and there was a voice from the firmament that was over their heads when they stood and had let down their wings. It was above them. The voice was above them. It was over their heads. God's not our equal, folks. He's not our buddy. He's not the big guy. He is our creator. He is our savior, our risen savior. He is our king. He is our Lord. He is our master. They only called him master in the Bible. We've risen above that in our modernized society. And so I want you to understand that the only place that one could encounter these angelic beings is in the firmament. The living creatures, which were cherubims, they stopped and they became silent. Their wings had been making this noise that Ezekiel talked about, and then all of a sudden it stopped and their wings went down. And in that silence, a voice from above the firmament was heard. If we could only listen long enough to hear what God has to say, our lives would be different. Our world would be different. We wouldn't have all the confusion that we have. We wouldn't get offended over things that are preached. Silly to think that we would get offended over things that are preached. We wouldn't go home with bitterness in our hearts. Listen, I'm not preaching at you, I'm preaching for you. If we could only hear God speak, what a different world we would live in. Verse 26 said, and above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And in verse 28, and as the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I said, it's time to go. We have lunch at 12:30. And when I saw it, I said, well, I'd like to have been there, but we just had a lot of things on our schedule today. When I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one that spoke. The next reason that we're having a hard time hearing from God is because we've not become a nation that operate from a spirit of humility. We've always got something to say. I'm going to be asking some of you here soon, not today, when I have permission to pastor your kids. Because when I do, I want to say something to your kids to help them grow when I see stuff. And if I can't say something to them, they're never going to grow. I don't know why I said that, but there was a reason. Had something to do with my text. Anyway, oh, that's what it was. We like to speak. We like to give opinions. We like to give our perspectives. And social media has absolutely caused that to steamroll our society. But in all of that, God still wants to speak. In all of that, God still has something to say if we'll listen. And all of our complaints and all of our justifications, why I have a right to feel the way that I do, God still has something to say. And all of our ideologies and our theologies and why I don't believe that is what I believe, God still has something to say. And all of our frustrations and all of our tribulations and all the trials and all the heartaches and the headaches of just everyday life, God still has something to say. You see, God is not in front of us. When we're looking at all the junk in life, we're not looking at God. He's not on our level. You have to get to a different level so you can hear what God has to say. And today, I'm going to encourage you to take this to heart and to make a decision in my life. I'm going on a different level because I want to hear what God has to say. God don't care what we have to say. You know what I found? We love to hear ourselves speak. We do. We think we sound so smart when we talk. We do. We say something, we're talking, and you know, we start to, man, I was good. And you know, and we sound really intellectual and we sound really smart. And God's just like, just shut up. I have something to say. Well, you don't believe God says that? Have you read the book of Job yet? Shut up, stand up, pull up your bootstraps like a man. I've got something to say to you. And I don't know about you, but if God wants something to say, if he's got something, I want to hear what he's got to say. I don't care if God's going to take me to a woodshed. I don't care if God's going to give me a revelation or a deep understanding. Hey, if God wants to speak, I want to hear what God has to say. But we live in a crazy, busy world. There's too much going on. We've got to find a way to get back to some of the basics so we can hear what God has to say. And I want to tell you something today. In the Holy Ghost, God has something to say in this place today. I feel like God is telling me to tell you I have something to say. And so, all of this denotes the sovereignty of God. Even though Jerusalem is destroyed, Israel is in exile, God is showing Ezekiel that I am still enthroned above it all. What a great time. If you ever need God to show up in your life, say, God, show up when I'm at my worst. Because God will remind you that I am still who I've always been. That's why he told Moses, when you go to Israel, say the I am sent you. That's all they need to know that he is. And that's it. God is everything that we need. And so he shows up enthroned in this whatever it is as Ezekiel is seeing. And so this encounter shows us the sovereignty of God and the closeness of God. Even though the Israelites may have thought that they lost access to the presence of God when Israel and Jerusalem fell, here he is with his throne in Babylon when they look up and they see the throne of God right above them. It wasn't left back in Jerusalem because the throne of God is not man-made. The throne of God goes where the people of God go. As long as he is still the Lord of our lives. And so the word, the firmament, it literally means a crystal-like expanse. And so what that does, it denotes the brightness or the clarity, if you please. You see, when you're in the presence of God, there's clarity. That's why when the preaching goes forth, when the Spirit of God is moving, it helps us to see the things in ourselves that we won't see or can't see. The worst thing a Christian can ever do is find somebody who just won't preach truth. You'll never see anything about yourself. You'll never see the things that God's trying to answer prayers, and you've been praying, God, I need to know, I need to see more. And God's, I'm trying. But every time the man preaches, you get offended because you get a little crawl in your britches. And so it, this firmament, it helped me, Lord, to explain this clearly. And God, what I screw up, I pray you clear up in their heads. God wants us to see clearly. When the word goes forth, it's, well, wow, yes, I see that now. Whoa, that's awesome. It's only our flesh that gets in the way. That's why God caught Ezekiel up in this firmament. Because you can see things when you're out of your flesh and you're in the firmament. When God begins to move and he opens the heavens, you see things that you can't see. A crystal-like expanse. The expanse, it literally means to pound the earth or to expand it by hammering it. So that means there's things are happening in the spirit that is expanding the kingdom of God. War that rages. And so your present situation can cause you to lose sight of God in your life. It doesn't matter how holy you think you are. Your present situation can always cause you to lose sight. Good distractions and bad ones. I've been talking a lot about that lately, especially to our leaders. There are good distractions. You say, what's a good distraction? She's a good distraction. Where'd she go? She's a good distraction. But sometimes a distraction nonetheless. Told Nicole this morning, babies are good distractions. Big distractions. Demanding distractions. A lot of new mothers, they feel like they backslide in the first several years. They do. Because they come to church to chase kids. And they wonder, why am I even in church? Because you're teaching that child, we go to the house of the Lord. That's why. Because you train up a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. And so, I've come to remind you about the importance of your walk with God and the move of God and the voice of God in your life. Gathering together does not mean we have a clear vision and clear purpose. Sometimes we gather and we leave just as dumb as we came. Don't take that personal. When we become distracted because of what we see, what's going on in our lives, what the distraction is, I want to remind you that God is not in front of you. God is not in that. That's not God. God is not a God of distraction. The firmament of God's power, he's a God of clarity. God makes things clear. Am I making any sense so far? So tribulation will either work in your life, or it will cause you to lose your life. Paul, he gloried in tribulation because of what tribulation does, the end results, how it molds us and it forms us and it strengthens us. But sometimes in tribulation, we lose sight of God and we get offended at God and we get upset at God. And we wonder why things aren't going the way I want them to go, because God's trying to say something and he's trying to say, I don't like the way you're going. I don't like the path that you're on. And so it's during these times, these trying times, that we need to hear from the Lord more than ever. Listen, I can't make you want to hear from God. I cannot make you have a better walk. All I can do is present the things for you. All we can do is bring in the people that we know will speak into your life and edify you. All we can do is worship the best we can and try our best to pick the best songs and preach the best messages that we can find. But ultimately, you've got to have the desire to have this intimate, thriving relationship with the Lord. And so, during those difficult times of your life, you have to decide if you need to hear from God or not. I told the group in prayer this morning, some time ago, I was talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I said, feed me. You know what God said to me? I kid you not, my hand to God. He said, feed yourself. He said, I gave you the bread of life already. It's up to you whether you're going to feed yourself or not. But see, sometimes we get too, listen, you can listen to Air One 7 days a week, 24 hours a day. That ain't going to save you. Not one bit. You can eat junk food. That might get you by. But it's not going to keep you living. So feed yourself, he said. When God speaks, you just got to love it because you're like, there's no comeback. You know, when I speak to my kids, oftentimes they have a comeback. But when God speaks, there's none. And you're like, okay. But see, it's only in the firmament where the voice of God begins to boom in our lives. And so God can be found there in the firmament. The first thing God spoke into existence was light. The second thing God spoke into existence was the firmament. That light, that wasn't natural light. That was the light of God. That was the glory of God. That wasn't natural light. He put the sun, the moon, and the stars later on. The first thing was light because every Christian's got to be able to see. The second thing was the firmament because every Christian's got to be able to touch God. We've got to be able to have an encounter with the Lord. We need the move of God. We need the presence and the power of God operating in our lives. We need to see with clarity what God wants us to see. And we need a place of divine refuge and renewing. Those are the things that was happening to Ezekiel when God showed up after 5 years in captivity. Satan's concern is never that we have church or come to church. His concern is that we'll have a move of God while we're at church. Listen, because he knows what precedes a move of God is always the voice of God. And he knows if the church will worship, if the church will lift their hands, if they'll get out of their own flesh and out of their own thinking and out of their own little whatever, and they'll begin to praise God. He knows that the firmament of God will begin to open up and God can begin to speak to the body, and that's where life comes from. That's why, listen to me, hear me, I want to help you this morning. That's why the first thing the devil tries to kill is your worship. Because if he can kill your worship, he can kill the voice of God in your life. And without God's voice, you'll be directionless, wandering aimlessly. That's why the Bible says he gave the fivefold ministry for the edifying of the church, for the working of the ministry. Oh. That we be no more children tossed to and fro with every wind of doctrine. We need this fivefold ministry that God has provided for us. And so he's concerned that today he's concerned that you'll let God move in your life so God can speak. He's not concerned that you pay your tithes or give. I don't like the word pay. He's not concerned that you showed up. As long as he can make sure that one person that just got you all in a frizzy walks right by you. God, I can't stand them. Think I'll find me a different church. Because nobody else will ever get in your crawl there. Nobody else will ever irritate you or frustrate you, right? And so, I don't want to see the trouble of your day and the frustration, the fear, paralyze your ability to get into the Holy Ghost, get into God's firmament. And I'm going to say something today that some of you might disagree with, and you're welcome to be wrong, but you need to pray in tongues regularly. You need to, the Spirit itself helpeth our infirmities. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. And that's why in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, when you're praying in an unknown tongue, you do not know what you are saying because the Spirit is interceding for you. And sometimes you need a little help from God. Sometimes you say, God, I can't do it myself. I can't do it in my flesh. So you need to get in the presence of God in the Spirit. And you say, well, I've never spoken in tongues. Well, we need to change that because it's God's will for every single believer. And not just one time, but it needs to become a part of you. We need to get in the firmament of God. So several things happen. Number one, when we get in the firmament of God, he releases us from the weight of life. Last year in Ukraine, I preached to them that this is a safe place. I wanted them to understand that when you walk into the four walls of this church, you're safe. You say, but what if they bomb the churches? Well, the walls just give us a place to gather. We'll just have to find a new place, that's all. But you're still safe. You're safe in the presence of God. You're safe among the people of God. Listen to me. You're safe right here today, even if there's people who you are at blatant odds with, even if there's somebody you don't like, you're still safe here. And so he releases us from the weight of life. We gather together as one body, and we begin to try and get in the firmament. Number two, he cleans up our spiritual sight so we can remain focused on the kingdom of God. Not focused on problems, not focused on other people, not focused on who hurts your feelings, but focus on the kingdom of God. Psalms 150 and 1, you know it well. It says, praise ye the Lord, praise God in his sanctuary, praise him in the firmament of his power. See, in the firmament is where God can flex his muscle in our lives, because we have opened up the door. We've allowed him in. You say, well, we can't stop God. Sure you can. God doesn't go where he's not invited. He doesn't go where he's not welcome. Sure, that's why the Bible says, quench not the Spirit. You can quench the Spirit. You can hinder the move of God just because of your lack of desire or your distraction. The Amplified, it says, praise him in his mighty heavens. And so there is a place outside of this carnality that God has afforded us that we could go. It's like your little spiritual vacation, if you please. And there are no problems. There is no sin. There nothing exists when I'm in God's presence in the firmament of his power. And there is where God is able to move and operate and speak into our lives. Isaiah 6 and 1, he said, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. Isaiah saw something that not everybody sees. Why? Because he was in the firmament of God's power. In 2 Kings chapter 6 and verse 15, three verses, it says, when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city, both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? Because they were surrounded by the adversary's army. He was paralyzed. He said, what are we going to do? That's where we get many places of our lives. We don't know where to go or where to turn. We feel like we're completely surrounded by this doom and gloom, if you please. And he answered, said, fear not. Fear is Satan's weapon. Fear is his weapon to keep you from going where God wants you to go, to keep you from letting go when God wants you to let go. Well, I'm afraid of being hurt again. Yes, you are. And you're going to have to let go and let God help you. He said, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And the servant's probably like, it's just you and I. And Elisha prayed, the Bible said, and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man. He saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. There are some things that you can't see, that you'll never see until God begins to open your eyes as you begin to get in the firmament of his power. And even here today, there are things that you can't see and probably have not even considered because of wherever you are, whatever's going on in your mind. But if God would help us this morning and open our eyes and we could just get into the firmament of his power, God has a way of just fixing everything. And then he'll be able to speak to us and make everything all right. And so watch this. Elijah had a relationship with the Lord that allowed him to see what his servant couldn't see. I may have a relationship with God that lets me see what you can't see. You may have a relationship with God that you can see things I can't see. But I'll tell you something. You'll never win anybody to the Lord unless they can see what God wants you to see. And they'll only see what you see. If you see problems in the church, that's what you'll preach to them. If you'll see nothing but despair and gloom and doom in your home, that's what you'll relate to them. You might never say the words. They'll hear them anyway. It doesn't matter. Because it's our spirit. If you see nothing but negativity, hey, have you ever wondered why? Where are they at? Come on, somebody, let me put you on the spot just for a minute. Where's the last person you won to the Lord? Now, I know we can't make people serve God, and that's not what God ever wanted. But God wants us to be a witness. And Elisha's servant was able to see what he saw because of his relationship with God. That's why we've got to get in the firmament. And that's why we've got to let God speak to us. Because when I go out there in the world, they need to see what I see. All they're going to see is what I see. If you preach to them hope and the joy and the love of God, that's what they're going to see. If you preach them all the problems that's in the church, that's all they're going to see. If you preach them all the problems that's in your own life, that's all they're going to see. And so when we get into the firmament of God's power, we see differently. We see things we can't see with our now. That's why Satan wants to keep you out of God's presence. Your walk with God will let them see in a manner that the words will never be able to reveal. Isaiah, the Bible says, his temple filled with his robe shows God's infilling creation. In Ezekiel, the throne above the firmament shows God enthroned in creation. I'm trying to hurry. I'm almost done. If you could come, honey, please. When we opened the door, not asking to be carnal or sensual or any of that junk. Something different happens. So in Ezekiel chapter 1, we see this scene playing out. And we know, because we get a little bit of a foresight, if you please, that God speaks even though he hasn't spoken yet. In all of chapter 1, it appears that God has, but he hasn't. God has just revealed. In chapter 2, verse 1, now God begins to speak. And he said unto me. Now, let me go back real quick to the end of chapter 1. And the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so is the appearance of the brightness round about. This would say to me that the promises of God became very, very obvious to Ezekiel at this moment. He's comparing them to the rainbow. And so as he's witnessing this divine presence of God, he's witnessing and feeling and seeing the promises of God. There's no better time to be reassured of God's promises than in the worst trial and the worst place of your life. And he says, this was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice that spoke. But God hadn't spoken. Now, in chapter 2, verse 1, now God begins to actually speak. You see, if you, me, whoever, if we'll pay reverence to the Lord, chances are you'll be able to hear from God. If you're just full of distraction and this and that, and your mind's all over the place, which is very common in our day because of phones, it's very hard to hear anything from the Lord. Very hard. I've said to our church and to our guys when they come, and Brenna, this is not about you, so don't take that personal. I know you will. But I don't think a preacher should ever preach off a phone. I think you're nuts if you preach off a phone. You know why? I don't care if you, well, I got my Bible app. Well, get your real Bible. Because with your real Bible, you don't have notifications popping up while you're trying to read it. And you don't have text messages coming through while you're trying to read it. And distractions. See, Satan is always trying to distract us. Now, I'm not saying audio Bibles are bad. I use them. But I need something that will not be interrupted when I'm trying to deliver the holy word of God. And when we're trying to get in the firmament of God's power, we need to be able to do so without distraction. That's why we got to have a place where we don't take our phones with us. It cannot be that important. And so Ezekiel, he witnesses this and he falls to his knees. Go to chapter 2, verse 1. While he's on his knees, now the Lord speaks. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand up upon thy feet. Well, you want me down here? You want me up there? Well, when I get down here, I do so with the spirit of humility. But if God requires me to stand and look him in the eyes so I can be accountable now, he can have my attention. Stand, he says, and I will speak unto thee. Now, you can go ahead and you can read the rest. Well, let's read verse 2. And the Spirit, watch this, entered into me when he spake unto me. Now, if you're filled already with the Holy Ghost, obviously it's there. The Holy Ghost is like a faucet. And if you go into your bathroom, the water's turned off. And it's by this little neat thing called a knob or a nozzle or a handle that you turn on what's already there. And so when I begin to get in his firmament, I activate what's already in me, and the Spirit begin to stir in him, and God then began to speak. You see, you need God's Spirit so you can hear his voice. There's a lot more there to read. I would encourage you to read. But the key is, God came to Ezekiel and revealed himself enthroned while they were in Babylon in captivity. Which should always remind you that God is always, always the authority of your life if you'll let him. But we cannot let circumstance or situation or stubbornness or whatever else rob us of the voice of God. When you're walking through life, God's not there. He's not in front of you. I saw him high and lifted up. I saw him high and lifted up upon the throne in God's firmament. And so what you're looking at, it's not God. Obviously, chaos is not God. Whatever other stuff you're dealing with today, it's not God because he's not in front of us. Don't look down. God's not there either. God certainly isn't when we're looking back. The apostle told us very clearly, forgetting those things which are behind, forgetting your good accomplishments, forgetting your bad days, forget it all. That's yesterday. But pressing forth, pressing forward. Look up, for that's where God is at. He's high and lifted up. The reminder is this. From time to time, we need God to remind us that he is still high and lifted up upon his throne in our lives. And if we're not looking in the right places, we're not going to find him. You might feel a little bit here and there because God is all around us. But sometimes, would you stand with me? Sometimes, I need one of these earth-shattering visits in my life. Holy moly, I think half the church just was dismissed. I'm not sure if I've helped you at all. The simple moral is this: life's not that hard. If our priorities are right and God is right in our life. Moral is, when I'm in despair, when I feel trouble all around me, when I feel like nothing's going right, when I've been in this valley, I've been in this mess for such a long time, and I don't know why nothing's changing. I don't know what it was that prompted God to show up to Ezekiel this specific time. Maybe you do. You could tell me. I don't know what it was. I would take a guess that there was some groaning and some murmuring and some complaining. Possibly some beating up of oneself. Man, if we'd have just listened. Preacher's been preaching for years, and we didn't listen. Now all of a sudden Babylon comes, and here I am. 5 years, God. It's been 5 years. Where are you at? Long. God, are you going to punish us forever? I would have to think something like that. And all of a sudden, this day, I don't know what, maybe Ezekiel just went out to the woods and said, I just need some quiet, need some privacy. I don't know what, but I do know this. What he saw was written in the Word for eternity. What he saw was reminder and remembrance. He saw what Isaiah saw. He saw what John saw when he was on the Isle of Patmos. He said, I was caught up in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And there God began to give him heavenly revelation and vision. And he began to write. There were some things God said, don't write, stop. That will only be revealed at a certain time. I got a question for you. How many of you could use God to say something to you today? I want you to just come to this altar. How many of you say, God, I just could use anything from you? That doesn't mean you're a heathen. Doesn't mean you're backslidden. Doesn't mean anything. It just means, boy, I wish I could hear something from the Lord today. For some of you, you already have, but you need God to reaffirm it in your spirit. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. Ezekiel said, God was enthroned above me. What a display. Lord, we've had a move of your presence already. God, we have worshiped. Some have already wept. Some have rejoiced. Some have shouted and celebrated. Some have just remained in awe of your goodness and your splendor. Now we need to hear from you. Lord, we need to hear you. It is not beyond you to speak into our spirit. It is not beyond you to speak audibly to us. Father, we need you this morning in this place. Lord, if nobody else, I want to see something divine today. God, I've already felt your presence. I saw your angels in Ukraine. We need you. This world's too dark. There's too much trouble. There's too much heartache. There's too much despair. As humans, we can only do so much. We need to feel your presence. We need to hear your voice, oh God, in this place right now. I pray right now, Jesus, that you'd begin to speak and I'll shut up. Let your glory, Father, fill this temple right now, we pray. In Jesus' name.
And I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. It's Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just want you. I'm caught up in your presence. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want.
Sing that again without any music.
Caught up in your presence.
Hallelujah.
And I just want
I feel the Lord saying, if you look, I'll show you. If you look, I'll show you now.
I'm caught up in this
if you listen, I'll speak.
Moment. I never want to leave. And I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything, and more than anything that you can do, I just want. And I'm sorry when I've come with my emotions. I'm sorry when I just sang another song and take me back to where we started. And I open up my heart to you. I'm sorry, and I'm sorry when I've come with my agenda. I'm sorry when I forgot that you're enough and take me back to where we started. And I open up my heart to you. I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave.
Just play softly for a couple minutes. Don't even sing. Just play softly. I feel it in the Holy Ghost. Just play. Hallelujah. Just sing softly.
I'm caught up in your presence. Cause I just want to sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want. Only want you. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. I just want you. Nothing else will do. I just want. Nothing else, nothing else, nothing else will do. And I saw the Lord seated on his throne. He was clothed in glory, exalted high. And the chain of his robe filled the temple, and the angels circled round him. And cried, you
grab someone's hand beside you. Maybe put your hand on their shoulder. Just join with them for a few minutes. Encourage them. Hallelujah.
The holy King.